Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
The greatest of these, or to be like God. So let's pray together. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the word. God, we just ask you to help us to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. Lord, let the love of God fall fresh on us. We're going to praise you for these things. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated today. What a great God. So thankful for him. Thank you for being here this morning. The greatest of these, to be like God. This is a pretty stout lineup when you think about these three. Faith, hope, and love. If you think of things that you want abiding in your walk with God, you want faith, you don't want to lose hope, and man, everybody wants to be loved or wants love. It's a powerful lineup here. The word greatest in the Greek means, because I know we think it's the greatest, like love is stronger, it's better, it's more powerful than these other ones, but the word there, greatest, means larger, especially in age. It means the elder. In other words, love has been around longer than faith or hope. Before man was created, faith was not needed. Before man was created, no one needed hope. But once Adam and Eve were created, now faith, because they had a word to abide. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. God gave them commandments. They began to have faith in the word of God and hope that it would provide what he had said. And so the greatest, the longest, it's been around, it's tried and true. It is the greatest of all these aspects. It is love. We must have love. Amen? We got to have it. Got to have love. The word there, charity, I'm switching back and forth between charity and love, but the word is agape, which means love. It means, actually, when you look in the Strong's, it says a love feast. Now, we just came off a cruise. There was a feast on that cruise. Anything you wanted, as much as you wanted. The reason I'm wearing this gray suit is because the pants can stretch. Because I'm telling you, when we got done with that cruise, we had had everything we wanted. If you left any place hungry, it was your own fault. Everything you wanted to eat or drink, it was there, and you could have it. That's what, when we think of a feast, it's everything that you can desire, everything that you would want to have. Well, I desire him. 1 John 4:8 tells us, for God is love. That word love there is agape. It's this word of charity. So we know that God is love. And Psalm 73:25 says, who do I have in heaven but thee, talking about God, and there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. That's God. The greatest of these is love. We've got to have love in this life and in this walk if we're going to do anything for the kingdom. Nothing else will work without it. We have to, you know, there's in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, it's right between two chapters on spiritual gifts. It's the first chapter 12 begins talking, it starts out talking about now concerning spiritual gifts. He goes into 14 and he's talking about spiritual gifts and prophesying and tongues and all these things. And we love those things. We need those things. The church has to have those things. But right there, sandwiched in the middle, is love. And that's what Paul begins to say at the end of chapter 12. After he's talked about all the wonderful spiritual gifts, he says, you need to covet the best gifts. He said, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love. I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity will suffer long. It's kind. It does not envy. Charity does not vaunt itself, lift itself up. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things, and charity never faileth. Love, agape, God is love. God is agape. God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then when we get to heaven face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Right there in the middle of the spiritual gifts is love. You know, when you have a sandwich, it is defined by what's in the middle. Turkey sandwich. You don't have two pieces of turkey and bread. That's a bread sandwich between two pieces of turkey. That don't make sense. But so whatever's in there, it's roast beef, it's turkey, it's peanut butter and jelly, it's banana, it's pineapple. Love pineapple sandwiches. But whatever it is, it's that. But it doesn't matter how good the bread is, if it's homemade, if it's baked, if it's sourdough made by Bertie's Bakery, no matter how good that bread is, if the turkey's rotten, the sandwich is rotten. You ever had a sandwich from somewhere, you got it, or you just took what was in the middle out and just ate the bread? Because whatever was in there wasn't any good. What I'm telling you is this, is that no matter how good the spiritual gifts are, if what's in the middle, if what's the greatest, if what makes it what it is, because gifts and callings are nothing, what Paul said, without love they are nothing. And if what's in the middle is bad, the rest of it's going to be bad. It doesn't matter. You can't do away with love in the church. I will tell you today that the greatest need that the church has today is love. Because everything else falls behind it. It follows it. It comes in with it. But if we don't have love, we're nothing more than a club trying to do things on our own. Trying to build ourselves up. Make ourselves a name that people will come running because of signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's great. We want signs, wonders, and miracles. But if they don't feel the love of God, because only the love of God is going to change somebody. It's only the love from God that's going to make a life brand new. They can be healed and go away and keep doing what they're doing. I've seen it. I've watched people receive the miraculous in their life and then turn around and walk off. But if the love of God gets you, man, it's been around longer than faith, and it's been around longer than hope. And once that tried and true love of God, taste and see, the scripture says, that the Lord is good. He said, try this love feast that God's got for you, and you'll find everything that you desire, everything that you need. That's why the Lord told that woman at the well, he was talking about that love when he was talking about that living water. He said, this well, this natural well, leave you thirsty, but the things that I give you will satisfy you, and you'll no longer seek after them. The greatest of these is love. Come on, church. When we do something for the kingdom, we've got to make sure that love is involved in it. We can't do it out of our own desire. That's the thing with spiritual gifts. Sometimes we can get carnal and fleshly with gifts. And we've seen that. We've watched men and women on the TV, they take the gifts of God and they exploit them for money and for fame and for notoriety, but they don't last very long. So suddenly they're gone. What happened to their TV show? It got canceled because eventually people realize this isn't what going to satisfy me. This isn't fulfilling the need that I really have. It was good to go, and we thought, man, look at what he's doing. Look at the miraculous. There's healings and there's all these things going on, but where's the love at? Because the greatest of these is love. Because God is love, and ain't nothing greater than God. God said, who will you liken me to, or who will you compare me to? There's none like me. I am God, and there is none else. There is no love like the love of God. I'm not talking about romantic love and love of emotion and feeling love for one another in a romantic way or a friendship way or things like that. But the love of God, because that's fleshly love. But this love, this agape love, that's spiritual. It goes beyond your flesh. Now, it will make you emotional. It will make you feel some emotions. It stirs some things up in you. But it's not emotional. It's stronger. It's greater than the flesh. And that's why Paul is careful to say right here in the middle, he said, let me go ahead and tell you, you can have these gifts. And you can covet after them and seek after them, and God bestow these things on you. But if you don't have love, now the gifts and calling are without repentance. And God will, his name and faith in his name will do things and move mountains. But if we don't have love, he said, we're nothing. We're nothing. We're not doing what he called us to. He wants us to be the light of the world. He wants us to do things so he gets the glory. But if there's no love involved, then he's not really involved, and we're not glorifying him. But love is spiritual. And the Bible says that we mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. Let me tell you, love will keep you in check. It will keep your flesh in check. When you begin to do things, that's when at the end of this chapter, the greatest of these is love. The reason that this love is so great and why it has endured longer is because of what it does and what it does not do. And when you go back and you start reading it, that charity suffers long. There's long suffering. How many knows God is long suffering toward us? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, or love, is long-suffering. And so when we want to be, I want to be like God, then you want to be like love. You can't say, I'm going to be like God. You're going to have to line up to this checklist right here. Because God never misses it. We miss it, but God never misses it. God is never one time unmerciful, always merciful. God always loves. God is ready to be God. That's him. That's what he does. And so he is always long-suffering toward us. We make mistake after mistake. We mess up, and yet God still loves us anyhow. And so I want to be like God, and I have to endure this world and endure the things of this world. I have to be long-suffering. He said that charity is kind. Be ye kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another. That's the scripture. So when I'm dealing with people, am I being kind? Because if I'm not, then how can I say the love of God dwells inside of me? Be kind. It does not envy. Don't be envious at what other people have or what they're doing or what they're getting. Don't let that envy and jealousy begin to rise up inside of you, because it'll cause bitterness to come in. And so make sure that, this person's going to do this and this one's going to do that. And you'll do what you're supposed to do. And that's the way it works. You can't do it all. Nobody likes a do-it-all. You ever heard somebody say nobody likes a know-it-all? Well, nobody likes a do-it-all either. I remember years, way back when I was a kid, watched the movie The Bad News Bears. The old one, way back. And they needed a good ball player, so they got this guy to come and put him in the outfield. And everywhere at the time the ball, it didn't matter which side it was, he was running and making every catch, just running in front of the other players, catch the ball, do all that. And nobody liked him anymore. Didn't care how good he was. I can do my part, you just do your part. That's the way it is. When we have love working in us, that's what we're doing. You do your part, I'll do my part, and it all works together. It works together in love. And that's what we want to do. We want things to be as good as they can be. And they'll never be as good as they can be if one person is trying to do it all. Charity does not vaunt itself or lift itself up. It does not exalt itself. It's not puffed up. Its pride is absent with love. The love of God will crush pride, because pride goeth before destruction. And pride, you know, will keep you from saying, oh, I laid hands on them and I healed them. That's the way some of them get. They want to swing the coat at you and say, look what I did. Or blow on you and say, look what I did. It was just your breath, man. It wasn't nothing to do with anything else. Me. Look what I did. But look at my ministry. Look at my planes. Look at my show. Look at my TV presence. Look at me. But that's not love. Love's not puffed up. There's no pride there. It does not behave itself unseemly. It's going to treat everybody right. It don't seek her own. It's not always trying to just for me. I got to, and if you don't get nothing, that's fine. I'm just going to, no. Love ministers, and it reaches out. It's not easily provoked. It don't fly off the handle. It don't shoot off its mouth. See, people can't see a post and they can't go by it. Got to type something. I got to respond to that. Just shut the faucet off on love, because love is not easily provoked. But they said this about me or about that. They said a lot of things about Jesus, and it said he didn't open his mouth. Answered not a word. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Doesn't sit around think about how I can get them back. I wish they would just slip and fall. I wish they'd make a mistake. I wish they would. It don't sit around thinking about how I can get somebody back, how I can turn the tables on them. It just thinks mercy, grace, love, compassion, kindness. Come on, somebody. Because that's how God is. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. That's how you make it. You know, people that don't make it, they've let love slip out of their life. Believes all things, hopes all things. That doesn't mean you're stupid or you're ignorant or you're naive. Having that kind of love, well, believes anything. I can just tell you anything, you'll believe it. No, it believes all things about God. It believes the good things. It hopes about all the good things, all the things of God. And it endures all things. The Bible tells me I need to endure until the end, or endure hardness as a good soldier. But I have no endurance without love. Charity, love, never fails. You want the best recipe for success in your life? Get the love of God in your life. Love people. Oh, I want to be like God. Then you want to be just like this list I just read. That's the way you want to conduct yourself. I want to be like Him. I want to be like Jesus. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten has declared Him. Jesus declared Him. Jesus was love walking and acting on this earth. He was God, manifest in the flesh. And so as a church, if we're going to really be the church, we can't get the bread right and then ignore and mess up the love part, the middle. Because if the middle's messed up, the rest of it's going to be messed up. It don't matter. Nobody's going to care about miracles, signs, and wonders if we're bitter and cold and hateful. That's not who we are. If we're unkind, if we're deceptive, if we're short-tempered, that nobody wants that. That's not. You can get that anywhere in the world. They come here, they want something different. They want to see something different. There's no greater need today in the church, in the body, than to have love, to show love, and to be love. That's what the church needs to be doing today. Faith, move mountains, heal the sick, see the miraculous in people's life. Faith. Need faith to please God. And as great as faith is, it's not greater than love. The Bible says faith actually worketh by love. Faith is the car. Love is the engine. It's the power. It's what moves it. It's what makes it go. And so without love, faith doesn't work right. Hope as an anchor to the soul. One man says, why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. Hope is powerful. Hope will keep you afloat. Hope will keep you going. But as powerful and as strong as hope is, it's not greater than love. Miracles are not greater than love. Preached messages are not greater than love. Prophecy or organizations or programs are not greater than love. You can plan it, design it, build it, enforce it, enact it, whatever you want to call it, but if it don't have love, it's nothing. We must have love. And let me tell you something. When you love people, that's not compromise. Why is it that today that people won't say, if you love the sinners, that you're compromising? What? Well, was Jesus compromising? Was he compromising when he said, but now, when you love people, when you love sinners, when you love the unchurched, that will cause the very religious people to talk about you. But they did the same to Jesus. Hey, why is he sitting with sinners and publicans and eating with them? What's going on with that? They did the same thing to him. Wanted to know why he was there when that woman came in to wipe his feet with her hair and cry on his feet and kiss his feet. That man said, if he really was somebody, he'd know what kind of woman this is. He knew exactly what kind of woman she was. But that love transcends all that stuff. It eclipses bias and hate and unrighteousness. And that love of God just sees past faults and it sees into the need. And it sees this person could be so much different if they only knew the love of God. You think about who you were and think about how different you are now that you know about the love of God. You think about who you was before God or who you was when you were outside of God or when you were running from God or disobeying God, and you think about who you are because of the love of God. The love of God is what people need to change them. I'm so glad that somebody wasn't worried about the way I looked when I came into the church, but they just embraced me and loved me and helped me. That's what I needed. I didn't need somebody to pour oil on my head and tackle me in the altar. I needed somebody to love me and tell me that God loved me and that there was something better for me. And that's what got me, was the love of God. And as we are this body, this is a message. John said this, 1 John 3:11. He said, this is the message that you heard from the beginning. What did it say about love? It was the elder. In the beginning, God, love. In the beginning, this is the message we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Love is the message from the beginning. So before we start thinking of all the cool messages we can preach and all the clever ways we can craft a sermon, the very first message is love one another. That's from the beginning, love one another. You think he didn't tell Adam and Eve to love each other? From the beginning, love one another. Well, there wasn't nobody else there. It was just them. That's pretty easy. Probably wasn't as easy as you thought once Adam wanted to go, you and that fruit. You know, they still had to have the love of God. They had to love one another, and the disciples had to love one another, and the church has got to love one another, and saints have got to love one another, and we've got to love the sinners, and we've got to love the new people that come in, and we've got to love the people that don't look like us. It doesn't mean compromise. The Bible says, whom God loves, he chastens. So I know that God will correct people, even though he loves them. We got corrected when we were young, but it didn't mean our parents didn't love us. And God loves us, and he corrects us, but listen, let God do that correcting. Let's do the loving. Let's be loving people and let them know that there is a God. And if, when they hear that word, when they see that word, when the love of God begins to move on their heart, it will convict them. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost when he preached. And he said, this same Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. You just crucified the love of God. Don't you understand? It pricked their heart when they heard that. And they realized, wow, Peter didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to make them repeat anything to him. He said, here's the answer. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is how you do it. You're going to get turned back to God, get back in favor with God, and God still loves you. Oh, the love of God is wonderful. If we want to be effective in the body, in the church, in ministry, then we must have love one to another. It's very important for us as we teach and preach and minister to people that we don't leave love out of it. If you see somebody praying and you think, I don't know if I love them, don't go pray to them, don't go talk to them, because you might say anything. But if you really love them, you won't say nothing but things that'll build them up, lift them up, help them, encourage them, get them through to the next thing. In John chapter 13, I could go there for just a moment. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment, Jesus talking to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The way I loved you, you also love each other. Did Jesus love you when you messed up? You can answer. Then we love people when they mess up. Did Jesus love me when I was stubborn? We love people when they're stubborn. Did Jesus love me when I acted out? We love people when they act out. He said, you're supposed to love one another. He said, this is it. I don't find anything else. It's this. It's got to be included in shining, and this has got to be included with shining your light, because that's how men see your good works. So part of shining your light and being the light of the world is loving each other. This is the way that men everywhere, people, the flesh, the world, will know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me. You're not part of some system, but you're part of me, part of the body, part of Christ. This is who you are, and that's how they know. When you love each other, and when you have that love toward each other, then you won't be prideful. You won't be trying to get your own thing. You won't be ugly. You won't be unseemly. You'll just do the right things. That's the way God designed us to be. In Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2, Paul wrote this to the church. Be ye therefore followers of God. Since God is love, I could say, be followers of love as dear children. And then, and walk in love. Well, I thought we walked by faith. Faith worketh by love. You can't walk in faith without walking in love. And you can't walk in love without walking in faith. They join hand in hand. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us. Walk the same way that Jesus walked, loving people, being kind to people, teaching people, being long-suffering and patient with people, realizing, you know how many times Jesus probably just smacked himself in the forehead when they would answer him? He would say, have I been with you so long? Where is your faith? How come you're fearful? You know, why do you think I'm talking about this? Have you not been listening? Do you not yet understand it? Many times, but he just kept teaching them. He kept loving them. He kept bringing them along, because he said, this ragtag bunch of guys are going to shake the world and turn it upside down, because they'll get it. It just takes a little while sometimes. So walk in love as Christ also has loved us. He's given himself for us. You've got to be willing to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You've got to be ready to give yourself for people. That's tough. Give himself for us. He gave himself for us. An offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's what Jesus did. That's what love did for us. It was selfless. Sacrificed himself. Went through it. Endured it. Suffered it. So we could be saved. And let me tell you, we can't save people. But people will be saved because we showed the love of God. I can't wash anybody's sins away, but somebody's going to get their sins washed away because we showed the love of God. That's what's going to happen. Love never fails. Praise God. And so when we go to let's look at Matthew chapter 22, a man had asked Jesus, what is the great or greatest commandment? And he says, well, it deals with love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. It's the first and great or greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Second one's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the greatest of all. When you tell them about miracles and signs and wonders, that's awesome. That'll stir them up, get their flesh, give them goosebumps, all kind of things. You ever been telling somebody about what God did and they go, woo, I got chills. Yeah, but chills don't change you. Chills don't change you. But God changes you. Love changes you. The love of God will change us. So this is the great commandment, to love God who we can't see. Even Peter reminded us, said, you love Jesus even though you hadn't seen him, but you still love him and you rejoice with joy unspeakable. No man has seen God at any time. He said, but you need to love him first because he first loved you, God who we can't see, and then love our brother who is created in his image, who's in our plain sight. John would write, how can we say we love God that we don't see when we hate our brother who we do see? The greatest of these is love. It's been tried. It's been tested, but it has stayed true. It is the elder. Love is the elder. It is larger in age, the elder. It has been around since forever because God has been around since forever. Love is eternal. There is no end to it. When we get to heaven, love won't stop. We'll be with love for eternity. That's how it's going to be. The love of God is greater. It's larger. It's bigger. Nothing eclipses love. There's no revelation or wisdom or gifting or calling. There's no conference or prayer meeting or revival service or act of service that will bear fruit without love. It will only be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. In the world, we grow up realizing that if we have a debt, we must pay it. We owe a debt. Romans 13 and 8 tells us how to pay it. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Pay it. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. The only way we're going to fulfill it, the only way we're going to fulfill the call, is to love people. That's what we owe mankind. We always say, oh, Jesus, what can I do to repay? Well, you can't repay him, but be like him. If there is anything, if there were, and I'm just talking as a man, if there was anything that I could give, then it would be to love somebody for Jesus. He loves us. He loves them, but to show his love to them. Sometimes they don't get it. They don't know it. They don't know him yet, but we know him. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We know that God is merciful because he was merciful to us. We know that God can do anything because he did anything with us. We know we've got a testimony. We've got a word. The Bible says a ministry of reconciliation, and we warn people and tell people, encourage people and beseech people, the scripture says. We're pleading with people in God's place. He loves you. The greatest is love. I don't want to be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Now God, which is love, is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. That God is a spirit. Even one spirit, God's spirit. When you read the spirit of Christ or the Holy Ghost, it's talking about the spirit of God. God, that spirit. Well, the fruit of the spirit, you know what the first one is? It's love. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit, what you see, the Bible says that a tree would be known by the fruit that it bears. The Bible says we are to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And if we are the planting of the Lord, then the fruit should bear witness to that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. First, foremost, number one, it's the firstborn. And everything else comes behind it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you read that list that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see that all these are evident in those things he was talking about. That if you have this fruit of the Spirit, you will line up perfectly with love. Love is first in line and everything else falls in behind it. It doesn't go shooting off all over the place. Because some people get joy in a lot of things. But he didn't say the greatest of these is joy. He said the greatest of these is love. Some people find peace in other things. But he didn't say the greatest of these was peace. He said the greatest was love. And so that in our own flesh, because we are created in God's image, there are things that we can do that will imitate God. But without love, I am nothing. I don't just want his attributes. I want him. I don't want to just act like God on my own, because some people will be kind so they can be seen. Why you see them posting pictures of everything they do on Facebook or Instagram. When they're handing a bag of food to somebody, or when they're, you know, they want to take a picture of it and show it. I'm not going to be kind so I can get likes or notoriety or make a reputation for myself. I'm going to do right because it's the right thing to do, because that's what God would do, because God is love. I want to love people for that. Just simply because God loves them. I want that love of God. Love powers our faith. We walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without love, we can't even please God, because we can't have faith. Our faith won't work. Faith without works is dead. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the power, well, we always love that scripture. God can do so much more than I ever think about, according to the power that works in me. You know what the power is? It's not faith. It's love. Faith worketh by love. Praise God. I'm glad for it. I'm thankful for it. I want to have the love of God in my life. I know I'm coming up on time. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said this in verses 3 through 5. He said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. Well, that's good stuff. Hope maketh not ashamed, because, why? Because of love. Because the agape of God, the love, the charity of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's why if we have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, then we should have the fruit of the Spirit, because it doesn't show up without all the fruit. You don't get the Holy Ghost, the fruit comes with it. But some people don't like fruit. That's in this natural world, there's some people, they don't eat fruit. Well, some people not eating spiritual fruit. They're not letting that fruit show. But the Spirit of God, of Christ, the Holy Ghost, it's love. The only way that hope can even hold its head up is because of love. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God. The only reason I can have hope and things will turn out right is because of the love of God. It is shed abroad in my heart. It's there. I can't ever say I didn't get it. Did you get the Holy Ghost? I did. Then you got it. You just didn't use it, or you didn't let it out. You didn't show it to nobody. God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that he would die for us. And so I want to make sure that I've got love, because it is the greatest. You can come to the music, darling. I'm fixing to wind up. You can stand with me. Yeah, I read over this a few weeks ago. I was reading what Paul wrote once again, because Scripture tells me that Paul, he said of himself, he had great, great, great revelations. You know, things that God was showing me, he said, but you know, God wanted to keep me from getting a big head. He said, he didn't want me to get exalted. And so he gave Paul a thorn in his flesh. Somebody to buffet him. So that he didn't get lifted up within himself. I thought about that. I said, well, you know, I don't want a thorn. I mean, if I get one, God lets me know his grace is sufficient, I'll make it. But love is better than a thorn. And if we would live by love, we wouldn't need the thorn. Because love is not puffed up. It don't exalt itself. It doesn't seek its own. It's not unkind. We could have all the calling and gifting and revelations that we want to have. And love will keep it in check. I think I'd rather have love than a thorn. But Lord, if I need a thorn, because I'd rather be saved than anything. But if I can just have love, oh my, that's what's going to make the difference. So faith, hope, got to have them. But the greatest, the elder, from the beginning, love. Love is the greatest. It gives us the greatest opportunities. It gives us the greatest chance. It gives us the greatest life. The greatest of these is love. I want the love of God. How about you? Let's lift our hands and pray together this morning. Lord, thank you. Oh, for your word. Lord, I know you'll do whatever it takes. And we, Lord, we want to be saved above everything. But I pray that we will be as you designed us to be. I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, to just love each other. That's the old commandment. That's the commandment from the beginning, to love one another. Let us have the love of God in our hearts. Let us have the love of God toward people. Let us have love of God toward one another. God, we just thank you for it today. And thank you because you first loved us. And Lord, we surely do love you. We give you honor and glory and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Ain't God good?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.